We are wrapping up our series today of survival to significance, and we have a special treat. I want to say that if you're a guest, thank you for being here. You could have been at any other place, but you chose to be here, and we appreciate it. If you come here, thank you for your faithfulness, that there's so much power in the spiritual discipline of gathering together with other believers and letting yourself be discipled and growing. So thank you for that. But today we have a guest speaker that I don't want us to take advantage that this is her home church, because we look at it like any other guest speaker that we have. And I have to say that this has been a plan in place for a while, not just for a while maybe on our calendar, but a plan in place for 25 years. So this is somebody that we have it's you know, when you've been somewhere for a long time, I thank God, I'm so grateful to watch people grow up in our ministry and then see them follow the ministry and whatever that is. It doesn't have to actually be this pulpit ministry, but to follow the ministry and just to say yes to God, to be obedient. And Heather grew up in our youth ministry, but God had plans and purposes for her story and touching the lives with her spirit a long time ago. And now it's finally launched. And she has been incredibly busy doing speaking engagements. So to be here today, we're so appreciative of it. But to close this series out, because she is the ultimate example of survival to significance, not just physically and emotionally, but she spiritually is here today to close this series out, to bring it in a real way to you, in a tangible way that you see someone's life. Her life's not perfect, but her life is everything that all of us strive every day, real. And so will you show her, not as, especially as someone a part of our home family, but as a guest, a speaker today, appreciation to Heather Meadows.
All righty. Well, we had a great, I have to bring my drink with me because my, having some allergy issues, but God's still going to move and work and have his way in our being, right? Because he's here with us. So I just want to pray real quick and then we're going to get started because we have a lot of ground to cover today and it's going to be beautiful. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this opportunity to be here this morning. I thank you that you have prepared the hearts of your people. I pray that this word be a benefit to them, Lord. I pray that it benefit their lives and that glorify you in each and every sentence, in each and every offering. And Lord, I pray that we have the humility in spirit to respond to you as you want to meet us today. And I give you praise and glory for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we've been talking about survival to significance for a hot minute, right? All year, all 2019. It's been a great year. The heart of this series, I'm just going to do a review for this series and share a little bit of my story. Like I said, in first service, my friend was not here, but I did say in first service that Michelle is a Bible teacher. You all have listened to her for many years now, and she is for sure a Bible teacher. I am a storyteller. That's just what I am. And we don't have to all look the same and present the same package for God to use us. We just have to be obedient and take those steps, right? So we're just vessels. So it's going to be a little different, but I do know that you're going to walk away with some elements to apply to your life. I know that because God is faithful. So from survival to significance is about walking and thriving in the daily purpose that God has planned for your life and the daily blessing that are always before you while giving him the glory all along the journey. Pastor Steve shared some verses with us, some core verses for us to take away in this series. And one of those is John 10:10. It says, "The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy." Right? You all know that. You know you have an enemy, right? That he wants to destroy you. So it's very important that we realize that when we're getting up and facing the day and attacks come toward us, we have to be able to remember in our minds, oh yeah, we do have an enemy. But Jesus came that we would have life and have it more abundantly. We're not just surviving every day, but we're thriving. We're living in abundance, even in the trials. And then John 15, 1 and 2, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Now, I know we don't like to focus on those things because we want to come into the house of God. We want to be encouraged and we want to be inspired. But like, let's think about the alternative. If we don't choose to abide in him, he takes the branch away. But for every branch that does bear fruit, right? All of you that are living in his abundance. Yeah, he's going to prune you. He's going to prune you, and it's not always pleasant. And he does that so he can produce even more fruit in your life. I mean, who wants to sign up for pruning today, right? Like, I think it might be a short line. And then Ephesians 3, 19 and 20 says, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think according to the power at work within us. That power is at work within you. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. It's at work in you. That's such a good news, isn't it? And then Galatians 6, 9, and I said this morning, God's word, the reason, you know, we have got to continually be in his word is because it is alive and it is living, and he brings it to life. It kind of punches us in different ways in different seasons. And Galatians 6, 9 is one that I've really been standing on for about 4 years, that and let us not grow weary of doing good. Because sometimes you do get tired. Don't you just get tired sometimes? Let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season, we will reap if we don't give up. If we don't give up. So those are all some, your pastor already shared those verses with you, but we're just gonna revisit those. So God has more for us than simply surviving, but to live in a significant way for his mighty power to be at work in and through our lives. So I'm going to share some stories with you all today, and I pray that you walk away just really encouraged and inspired, and that you feel that it relates to you. So I'm going to show a picture of my family, which you all already know them because you are the people that pour into us and minister to us. My kids have sat in your Sunday school classes and in kids' church. I've sat in your Sunday school classes. I mean, this is my family right here, and it is such a blessing to have the opportunity to speak into my family. So I don't know if, is it up there? Oh, yeah, there it is. Okay. So that's Brooklyn and Jaren, Kaden and Gavin, and then Brandon. And Brandon just wanted me to point out how good looking he is. Because I had a beautiful, beautiful experience Friday night that Mark Way Mullen introduced me as the speaker for an event. It was such a blessing. I have that video, but he said Brandon wasn't very good looking, but he had a good heart. So Brandon's like, would you please, especially if Mark Wayne is there, point out how good looking I am. So he is, and Mark Wayne's right. He has an amazing heart. So I want to share the book with you all. I wrote this book, Transforming Tragedy, and this book was written in these pews and at these altars. And it was not an easy process for sure, but I wrote it to be a real life illustration, to connect, inspire, and encourage people facing their own painful places. I didn't need to tell my story. God had healed me and had done a great work in me. And I seriously have said, 4 years ago, I said, Lord, you gave me everything I ever wanted, and I just feel like it's done. And he said, you're right. I was wrapping Christmas presents. Anyway, you're right. I gave you everything you ever wanted. And now your story's just begun, because it's not about what we get out of the journey, but about what we give. So that's why I wrote this book, and many of you may have already read it. If you have read it, I pray that you would consider getting a copy for a friend or getting a copy for yourself today. We have them available here. And as the expenses for this book are paid for, I will be putting funds back to be able to write it into a children's book, and I need an illustrator. And so I want to do things to the best of my ability, and sometimes that means financial investment. So know that you guys are investing into the next step, not just into getting this book launched out. So this series, having a mindset that is just trying to survive, a mindset that aims to merely keep our head above water, is passively waiting for the moment to end without considering what can be produced from it. So those difficult moments, you may want to hide in a closet and bury yourself away or get in your bed and pull the covers up over your head, but that is very passive, and it's not going to produce what God intends to bring from it if we have that approach. So I much rather, Brandon and I just went on a trip last weekend for an event in Houston, and we took off on a Friday, and they were de-icing the plane. I'm like, yeah, I didn't really want to take off with ice, but okay. And then on our way home, it was raining. And so I said to Brandon, I said, you know, I'd really much rather take off in a plane when it's sunny skies and it's pleasant. But then again, I also rather just completely avoid road construction and detours. You just want to get to where you're going. Unfortunately, the reality is significance isn't typically produced from the pleasant packages of life. So that's why these packages are here, because my children on Christmas morning or a birthday are going to go to the biggest gift that they can find, because that's appealing, right? That looks like a pleasant package. I said, you know, like each of them kind of represents something. Watch, I'll just take a moment to say. I said, you know, this is kind of like the day that Brandon and I stood here, right here in this sanctuary and got married. Like that was a pleasant package of life. Do y'all remember that, Mary and your spouse? It was a pleasant day, wasn't it? And then, you know, this was like when Brooklyn was born and Jaren was born and Caden and Gavin. Those were gifts I never thought I would have in my life. And those were pleasant packages. And then when Brandon graduated from Oklahoma State University, there y'all go, with his bachelor's degree in mechanical engineering, that was a pleasant package. The road getting there was not so pleasant because we were 18 when we stood up here and got married. But it was a pleasant package. And then when I was able to graduate from the University of Oklahoma with... I know, we just represent, we love all people. With my bachelor's degree in nursing, that was a pleasant package for sure. And then being able to have the opportunity to write and for people to read what I write and to be able to speak into people's hearts, like that is a pleasant package of life. And so you may think that that's kind of what represents life, but my Aunt Donna and I talked about this not too long ago. Really, my significance did not come from these beautiful, pleasant packages, but it came from the difficult moments that a little black box would bring. Now, some of you ladies may have got a little black box for Valentine's Day, but this wasn't one. We don't really do jewelry, do we, Brandon? But sometimes the box is small, and sometimes it's dark. Sometimes it feels completely empty. But it's in those places that we press in and draw closer to the Lord. It's in these little black box moments that significance is developed. Significance is developed. So I'm going to tell you about one of my very dark times that really you can't sum it up into one day or one moment. It's certainly been a life journey. So this is a picture of my brother John and me. And some of you know this story. I'm going to just share a little bit about it with you. And then, of course, if you don't, I would love for you to get the book. I share many details in that. But when John was 9 and I was 7, we had gotten off the school bus. We decided that we wanted to go visit some friends. We lived out in the country. Got off the bus, got our chore chart done. I put on my jelly shoes. Did y'all, anybody have jelly shoes? They were so cute. I've always loved shoes. They mean so much. I love them. Maybe not a jewelry girl, but I love shoes. And love my jelly shoes. And put those on. And John and I filled up the motorcycle with gas and decided that we were going to go visit some friends. And so Grandma lived next door. And Mom wasn't home from work yet. And we asked Grandma if we could go visit these friends. And she said no. And we could not believe that because Grandma never said no. We have grandparents here, right? And so we begged her and we pleaded and we wore her down until she agreed. So John and I went to visit our friends. He dropped me off at my friend's house. He drove down a couple more to see his friend. And then on our way back, we pulled out onto a dirt road behind a little red truck and we're just in a cloud of dust. Now, we had this urgency about us because we were not supposed to be where we were. And we were fixated on the fact that we needed to be home. So had we not been children, I'm sure we would have pulled over and waited for the dust to settle. But we proceeded home. And I remember the dust around us and laying my head against my left cheek, against John's back, and I was just hunched, you know, around him, as I always was when we rode our motorcycle. And he kept swerving to the left and the right and the left and the right, and our eyes just stung with the dust. And our last swerve to the left, we were met with an oncoming truck. And so our worlds collided on that country dirt road. A fire ignited, and I was burned 87% of my 7-year-old body with third-degree burns. So I was transported to Hillcrest Medical Center, where we have the burn unit, and they did a chest x-ray, and they determined that I had a total transection to my descending thoracic aorta. So your aorta that sends all the blood to your body, to your lower extremities, and then it circulates all back up again. It was like just cut. So I, in my medical understanding, in my medical education, I knew that there was no way I should have ever made it to the hospital just with the heart injury alone. So with the burn injury and the heart injury, it was reported to my parents that I had a 140% chance of dying. When I was in youth, Steve would say, so does that mean you should have died a week before your accident? And I'm like, right? How do you get more than 100%? Only God. Only God. So that was what my parents were praying against. And I was on what people call life support. I was mechanically ventilated, so I had a tube in my throat, and they sedate patients for that. And so every now and then, I would kind of arouse from the sedation. And if it happened to be a time that the tube was out and I was breathing on my own, I could ask questions. And I always asked, where's John? And it was about a week after the accident that my mom and dad sat at my bedside and read letters from John's second grade class telling me that he didn't make it. So my identity was unsteady. I only knew memories with John. I mean, we did everything together. We were country kids. We didn't have any other options, really, than to play with each other. But we had created such a strong bond. But I was going to face this journey alone, on my own. So this is a picture of me standing up the first time that I like to share. And then this was June 8th, so that accident was April 27th. And then I like to show this next picture because I share it with elementary school students, and I ask them, you know, do you think I'm smiling or crying? And I like this picture because I was trying my best to smile. My mom and dad weren't able to be there when I got out of bed the very first time, and so we took a picture with a Polaroid camera because that's what we had back then. And sometimes you just have to smile, right? Sometimes you are facing situations that are unfair and hard and painful, but you just have to put on a smile and keep pressing forward. So we're going to, I have an interview that I was going to show you all, but we skipped over it in the first service, and I think we'll be fine to skip over it today. It's on our website if you would like to see it. But in Genesis chapter 37, we learned about the 12 tribes of Israel, right? And they had this beautifully perfect family. Yeah, y'all were here for the series, so you know they did not. So here, you know, we've got that Steve, the very first point that he shared with us is the atmosphere of your home matters. In order to go from surviving to significance, these are some of the elements that we have to keep at the forefront of our mind. And knowing the atmosphere of our home is very important. And so I had said to Brandon before, I've said this before, that, you know, favor is great, but I said favor found Joseph in a whale, and Brandon said, no, babe, no, favor found Joseph in a well. Jonah was in the whale. So I have a country accent apparently, so whatever you would say, but that favor caused some problems for Joseph. It did cause some problems. And it says, I'm going to skip forward now. Okay, so understanding your family dynamic is highly beneficial. This is where the problems come in. So understanding your family dynamic is highly beneficial. Joseph did not understand the depth to which he was hated. Hated. That's what the word says. Y'all, I went back and I listened to all these messages because how many of you all have read a book that you loved so you reread it? I mean, have y'all done that? Or watched a movie that was fabulous and you're like, oh, I gotta watch it again. I've watched it 10 times. Have y'all watched a movie that you just loved over again? So I'm gonna say, really, when you're sitting here and you're listening to these messages and then you go back and listen to them again, there's just it's so much that you receive from it. So I encourage you to consider that. Maybe while you're driving, I listen to messages a lot when I'm driving. So understanding your family dynamic is highly beneficial. Joseph probably knew he had his dad's favor, right? But his lack of understanding or caring about his family dynamic ended up costing him years of separation from them. And I say that I don't like my kids to say hate because I feel like it's such a strong word. You know, hate comes from the devil. But the word says his brothers hated him. In Genesis 39, what you cannot control, you should not allow to have control over you. That was a powerful word for me. Because how often do we try to control things that we can't control? I had no control over some of the things that happened in my life. None. But you can't let what you cannot control have control over you. So Joseph had the highest integrity, and we think that when we're doing everything right, then everything would go right. Right? Which leads to the next point, be prepared to be tested. I did not like that one. When I wrote it down, I was like, I didn't like it when he said it. And I didn't like re-listening to it either. Be prepared to be tested. That's kind of like that pruning process that we just discussed. So tests are given and they are allowed by God for our benefit. Potiphar's wife was a test in Joseph's life. Joseph had a choice. Joseph had a choice and he chose to honor God. And how did that work out for him? Because how often are we doing what God has called us to do, and yet things aren't going just perfectly? You're like, hello, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. But remember, you have an enemy that wants to destroy you. And the enemy wanted to destroy Joseph just the same. So we talked about in Romans 5:3, how Paul tells us to rejoice in our sufferings. This was a scripture that for sure Pastor Steve just really challenged us to memorize scriptures in youth. I mean, we had a discipleship class, and it was like you had so many to remember every week. And that I did, you know, at 13, 14, 15, 16 years old, it settles in you. And so it's a great habit to get yourself into memorizing the Word of God. So Romans 5:3 was one of them. And it's one that I reference a lot because sufferings produce something, produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope will never disappoint us, ever. So as Pastor Steve talked about, do we rejoice in our suffering? No, not in the suffering itself, but we rejoice in the potential that it has, it's gonna create in our life. Your gifts have power and purpose that are given to you to be used. We talked about that. We learned that from Genesis 39:21, that how the time that Joseph was in prison, God was developing his gift. God had given him a gift, but he continued to develop Joseph to where when it was time to be called to Pharaoh, he was ready. So your gifts have power and purpose that are given to you to make you feel fabulous? No. To make you feel special? Are you special? Yes, you're special. But that's not what your gifts are for. Your gifts are to be used. And so Michelle shared with us that obedience can be very difficult, right? Obedience plus faithfulness equals significance. That means daily walking in faithfulness to your calling because you want to obey the Lord even when you might not quite feel like it. Then we learn God's timing and his movement are always best in our lives. So after 13 years of confinement, Joseph was called to interpret Pharaoh's dream, but not only did he use the gift of interpretation, he used the gift of wisdom, and he was only to do that because of what God had been doing inside of him. And he used it to give Joseph the courage to stand before Pharaoh. He was equipped. He was ready. He didn't just have the answer. I mean, I was one of those students in class that I would have the answer, but I was not going to raise my hand and say it. I'm like, I'll let somebody else say that. And I'm a talker. So he gave him the courage to be able to stand before him and be used as God intended him to be used for that moment. When God calls upon you, when the moment comes, when he says it's go time, be ready. We talked about how Joseph prepared himself. Don't dismiss the opportunity of God preparing you. Let go of yesterday's disappointments and hurts by focusing on the blessings God has given you today. My mom has illustrated this for me my whole life. She is like super positive. I mean, if y'all think I'm positive, she's super positive. And my mom has shown me what it is to live in today. When her only place that her son exists are in the memories of yesterday, my mom doesn't live there. She lives in the blessing and the potential of today. So we, even those places, yeah, God has worked all things together. We need to use the experiences of yesterday, but we're not going to live there. We're not going to live in those places. And Joseph didn't either. Survival mode tends to stay in the past, good or bad, but significant mode chooses to embrace each new day with God leading the way. We talked about how restoration is a process, and we saw Joseph's patience to allow God to restore the relationship with his family in a proper way. He didn't rush in and make it happen because he missed his dad, and he missed his little brother Benjamin. I don't know if he missed all those other guys that hated him. I'm not sure about that. But he did not rush the process. He allowed God to move and take it step by step. Then we learned pushing through the emotional toil is essential. And listen, I am an emotional girl. Like, I am emotional. Anyone who knows me can vouch for that. And this really spoke to me. Our unchecked emotions are toxic to our spiritual well-being, which is the very foundation of who we are. Did God create me to be this way? Yes. Did he have good plans and purposes for my emotions? Yes. But when the enemy is creating situations to where we're getting too wrapped up in our emotions that we can't focus on what God is doing, that is destruction, absolute destruction. We learned after pushing through the emotions, it's time to deal with the core issues at hand. And that is what Joseph had to do with his brothers. He continued to put tests in front of them to see their genuineness and to hear them acknowledge the mistakes that they had made. You know, forgiveness is one thing, but restoration is something else. And we have to forgive to be able to move on and be what God's called us to be. But to have that accountability really does provide for a healthy moving forward of family relationships. And then Pastor Steve shared with us, all things work together for the good of God's purpose. I spoke at a luncheon this last week, and the lady came to me and she said, would you sign my book and put your favorite scripture? And I thought, one? Like, you just want me to put one scripture? Because I have so many favorite scriptures. But I wrote Romans 8:28 because it says that God works all things together, all things, like all the pleasant things, all the wonderful, beautiful things, but also all the painful things. God works all things together for the good of those who love him, not just anybody. God, you have to allow God to do a good work in you. So you have to choose to love him and walk according to his purposes. Those two things, and then God will work all things together for your good. So, we saw that with the tribe of Judah. Like, you know, Jesus came from the tribe of Judah, and Judah was one of the brothers. Anyway, y'all should go back and read the story. It's really good. So he worked all things together for the good in that family. They weren't perfect people, but he worked all things together for the good, which gives us hope in our families that we don't have to be perfect to be available, to be an instrument used by God. So I just want to share one focus point with you and a couple scriptures. So my add-on for this series of survival to significance is, in pressing circumstances, we can either freak out or focus. Those are our options. Did Joseph freak out when he was sold into slavery? Did he freak out when he was wrongfully accused and convicted? Did he freak out when he was forgotten in a prison? Did he freak out or did he focus? We have situations still that come in our family today, and I want to clearly communicate that I don't have the market on pain and suffering. Like, I thought for a while that maybe we just had a quota that we met, and then of grief and of pain, and then the rest of life would be great. So I kind of thought, well, I've met my quota. It's going to be great. But no, I still am experiencing little black box moments in my life, and I have a choice to either freak out or focus. And a few weeks ago, I was in my bathroom and I put on my praise and worship music. In my book, I write about power tools and how God used people, prayer, his word, music, and writing to bring healing to my life. And I still turn to those power tools today because sometimes we are empty and we have nothing, nothing that we can bring to the table. Like, sometimes have you been so empty that you want to pray, but you just have nothing in you to give? And so a couple weeks ago, I turned on my praise and worship music, and I was in my bathroom, because that's where I hide and talk to the Lord. And the song by Bethel Music came on, and it's, God, I look to you. And the words say, Lord, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me vision to see things like you do. Sometimes it's hard to see things like God sees things, because sometimes we're just hurting and we need his vision. Lord, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me wisdom to know just what to do. Matthew 14:28-32 talks about Peter, and he says, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water. Jesus said, yes, come. So Peter went over to the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. And Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. He said, you have so little faith. And I believe he said it compassionately. I do believe that. Why did you doubt me? He says that to us today. When they climbed back in the boat, the wind stopped. So it's completely understandable, right? For Peter to freak out. And I'm grateful for his example. But he called out to the Lord. He called out to him. And God came. Jesus came and rescued him. So in pressing circumstances, God's plan is not circumstantial. It is not unintentional. It's not incidental or coincidental. His plan is direct, absolute, straightforward, indisputable. It is specific and clear-cut. Romans 12:2, which is a verse that we learn as young people, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. Transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. Was God's will for me perfect when I laid in a road on fire? Yes, his will for me was perfect. Was his will for me perfect when I sat across from an obstetrician that said that the baby I'd wanted my whole life, I should consider terminating the pregnancy because it could kill me? Like, was God's will for me perfect then? Yes, it was. Was God's will for me perfect when I was going through marital problems, dealing with sin that was not my own? Yes, his will was good, pleasing, and perfect then. Is it perfect in a layoff? Is it perfect in a cancer diagnosis? Yes, God's will for us is good, pleasing, and perfect. And we have to change the way we think and the way we interpret these challenges to understand the full potential of what comes from it. That is living a life of significance. So I put a few verses up there. You all can just jot them down, but Ephesians 1, 9 through 11 talks about how his mysterious will is revealed to us. We just have to get in his word and read about it. Ephesians 1 and 18, I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand. We have to know where to look to be able to understand these things. And then Ephesians 1, 19 through 23, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in your life today. Because of this authority God has given you and God has given me, I want to show you what we look like. Like, is that picture up there? Oh, y'all are looking at the verses. This is a beautiful picture of what God sees in us. The only person standing between you and God's best for you is who? You. His intention toward you is good. The pain, the heartache, betrayal, hurt and wounds you've acquired are not his doing. They're by this fallen world, this place that we were never intended for. But the miracle comes in what he can work in and through the insufficiencies of this life. That's where the miracles are found, in these little black boxes. Joseph placed his life in God's command. Joseph demonstrated the ongoing commitment to trust the Lord with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength, regardless of his circumstance. Regardless. That's my challenge to you today for living a significant life, regardless of circumstance. A life of significance is developed through believing, pursuing, and anticipating the triumph while still in the midst of the problem, the storm, the prison, the betrayal, the battle.